And welcome to CAT Scan. Yes, we are back. The Prince George Cougars podcast. First edition for the 25-26 season. Mark Lamb is the head coach and general manager of the Prince George Cougars. And welcome back to the program, Mark.
Yeah, thanks for having me back.
You bet. Now, your summer. Tell us all about it. Not necessarily from a hockey point of view, but from a personal point of view. The summer might have been a little bit longer than you wanted, based on the first-round playoff series that went seven games. However, I know you enjoyed your time. And just give us an insight as to what you're up to non-hockey-wise, because we're going to get a lot of hockey over the course of the summer.
Well, nothing really crazily exciting, you know, that's for sure. But I traveled a little less this summer than I usually do. I went back home and seen the family in Saskatchewan, was back in Alberta, you know, a few times. But for the most, I spent, you know, the summer around here. It was a beautiful, beautiful summer and a beautiful fall. So got rested, you know, a few of the meetings. You know, you still have the hockey business going on, but it was a real good summer.
Yeah, and I think some of the fans would like to know, and all of your time is really taken up by hockey, but what are some of the things outside of hockey that you like to do, things that interest you that, you know, you don't have a lot of time for during the season that maybe you are able to do in the off season?
Well, me and my wife, we like to hike a lot, and me and my son got into pickleball this summer, so that's a lot of fun. I'm not a big golfer or anything like that. So, you know, pickleball was something that I really enjoy.
Okay, so you and your son are playing pickleball. Who comes out on top?
That's the good thing about it. We're really competitive. So it turns into real good games. So I think I might have the advantage at this time, but he's getting better.
Yeah, well, he's old. How old is he now?
He's 25.
Okay, so he is just getting in the prime. You're now, I think, 60 or 61, so it's not going to be too long probably before he's able to overtake you, and I know how those family battles can go. Sometimes they're the most fun.
Yeah, no, we have a blast doing it, that's for sure. And it's the racket sport that, you know, I've played them in the past. I've played a lot of badminton, so it's pretty similar, and we have a blast out there anyway.
Yeah. And so with so much time consumed with hockey, how do you try to balance it in the off season so that you do have that break? Because we're now into the, you know, now that we are here starting the season, you're so focused. Do you find that you have to try and have some kind of a breakaway because it's such a busy 7-8 months?
Well, it's busy, you know, and it's always busy, but I really find that after the season's over, you know, that's, you know, it's the worst part, you know, and unless you win, you know, a championship, then you're celebrating. But if you don't win a championship, you're not celebrating. It's kind of a real depressing time of the year because you don't have that every day of going on the ice again. And, you know, after all these years, that's really what you look forward to. So the work part of hockey for me isn't really work. It's something I really enjoy, and coming to the rink and you know, being around the guys and stuff like that. So having a bunch of time off isn't something I like.
We'll get to the players in a moment, but all the coaching staff is back. Everything seems to be back in the same order with the Cougars. I see Bob Simmons has a new job and somebody's taken over as head coach. So just sort of give us an update as to the organization in terms of some changes that have been made, although the coaching staff's in place.
Yeah, you know what? It's just a little, you know, some job descriptions. Leland Mack is going to take over to be the head scout, but Bob Simmons by no means is leaving or taking a step back. He probably won't travel as much, and Leland is totally ready to take over that role. But Bob still has the same voice in this organization.
Right. Okay, so let's take a look. I was sort of going through the roster. Now, obviously, guys are coming back and they're at camps and everything like that. I think once things have settled, you're probably looking at least a dozen, maybe a little bit more returning guys. How do you sort of see that right now?
Yeah, it's we don't have anybody back from camp yet. So it's wait and see. Those guys will be back. I'm assuming those guys will be back. I'm not sure they'll be back for the opening weekend. But yeah, it'll be somewhere in there, 12, 13 bets.
Right. And of course, guys that potentially can get the C, you're looking obviously at Parizak and Demansky, sort of your cornerstone, your high-end forward, your high-end defenseman. That's going to be the leadership group will start there, I assume.
Yeah, we got a lot of leaders on this team now. You look at when you want to look at our group, we got lots of guys I think that can wear the C on this team. And I don't look past Carson Carroll. So I don't look past Vaughn. I don't look past Foster, Lajoie. You look at Parizak and Demansky because they kind of stick out. But there's those other guys are right in there with them.
So somebody that would take a look at your roster would look and say, okay, you're obviously going to be very strong in goal. That's a given. You got the first round pick in Josh. You are going to be very strong on defense because you got a number of returning guys there. But it's going to be a challenge for the Cougars to score. You've got guys that can score, but you did lose a lot of firepower, and you knew that was going to happen. Is that how you see it, that goals for might be a bit of a challenge, but you're going to be very strong at the other end? I'm looking at a lot of trying to win the 3-2 kind of games, maybe even 2-1.
Well, it kind of looks like that, and offense is yet to be determined. Can guys take some next steps? Can Sherdot take some steps? Some new guys that we brought in, Gazowski, he's a goal scorer. Can Such take some steps? Can Yakutsenak, the Russian player we drafted in the import draft, he looked really good in preseason. Can he take some of that slack? And I expect Lajoie to chip in there. But what you're talking about is the dynamic offensive players that we've had around here in the last few years. And can some of these guys turn into that? It's yet to be seen. But we always try to play a real strong defensive game, and it kind of bodes us well the way we're set up right now.
Yeah, I remember last year Lajoie got off to a great start, and a lot of that was he got power play time, a lot of ice time, because a lot of the guys that were at NHL camps hadn't been back yet. So he took advantage of that. And there's always somebody that comes through because guys are going to get power play time, first unit power play time, that maybe last year they were on the second unit, third unit, maybe not even consideration. So those things change when you get the more ice time. Some guys rise, and then there's always guys that have way bigger numbers than one expects.
Yeah, you expect the veterans to have better years, and a guy like, if we want to talk about Jett, he's a player that he got off to a really good start last year, and guys like numbers are numbers, and everyone looks at these numbers and stats, but sometimes they're very unfair for players because you're not going to put up real big numbers if you're not on the first power play, let alone the second. Like the second will get some, the later part of the first, and sometimes you might not even get out there. So that really cuts into the man advantage part. But we want the guys to play a 200-foot game. Even our scores, even last year when you have the dynamics of, Height and Ballas and Zimmer, those guys are high-end offensive players. And, Ballas turned into that when he got here.
Yeah. So were you watching intently the NHL draft when Josh went in the first round to San Jose?
Oh yeah, I watched the draft right through it. I was really, you know, you're always happy for your players to get drafted. When you're drafted in the first round, especially a goalie, you know, I think that's very special for him, and it was well deserved. He earned it. He's one of the best goaltenders I've ever coached, and you know, he's a top number one. I expect him to be the head of the snake on our team this year.
Right, and that's where it's going to start in goal. And, you know, then you were around the next day for Foster getting drafted.
Yeah, you know, that was, you know, I thought he had a chance. I thought a few of our guys had a chance. And, you know, that's one thing about the draft. You never have a clue what's going to happen in the draft. We don't have a clue, you know, in the Bantam draft. The NHL draft is no different. You know, every team has their needs and what they're looking for, and some guys get overpassed and some guys get drafted and never make it. So, you know, somewhat of a crapshoot in a lot of different ways. But, you know, for kids, and, you know, I talk about it all the time. We talk about it all the time. It's a different path. You don't need to make it. You don't need to get drafted right away. It's nice if you do. But if you really want to, if you really want to play pro, it's process driven. It, you know, and especially with the new rules now, and the landscape has all changed. And, you know, and I'm, you know, you talk about a guy like Jet who was rated for the draft, but he didn't. But he's not the only one. And there's some guys that weren't rated that got drafted. And if you let it bother you, it'll probably hurt your career, but it should motivate you. And if you have that mindset that it motivates you and you put the work in and you want to get better, you know, that light at the end of the tunnel is still there.
Do you talk to the guys that didn't get drafted that you thought might have, just to, you know, give them that encouragement and say, hey, that's just a process, don't worry, all those kinds of things? Or do you don't have to, you feel that you have to get involved with that, or is that something that's important for you to do?
No, it's important for me to do. I talk to the kids, and, you know, when you're rated and you don't get drafted, you know, you talk about me watching the draft, and those guys are glued to it too. You know, they do all their comparables. They see other guys get drafted, and, you know, if he can get drafted, I should be drafted. And it's really hard on the teenage brain to go through that. And if you can, so I just want to give them support and let them know, you know, from my experience, and I'm not the only guy that phones them, my experience, that it'll be all right. But just, you know, start working right now and get ready for next year.
We're speaking with Mark Lamb. He's head coach and general manager of the Prince George Cougars. You are listening to the season debut of the Prince George Cougars podcast. Well, there was a major development over the course of the summer, and that is with the NCAA and taking numerous WHL players and CHL players, and that has sort of changed the landscape. So I think the PG Cougars got off okay, unless I've not right up to date. I think you lost Ben Reich, but other than that, you didn't lose anybody else. Some teams, like Victoria, got hit really hard. Your thoughts about the landscape changing, NCAA coming after the WHL players, how you're affected, how the league is affected, what's your overall thoughts here?
Well, the overall thoughts are, you know, pretty scary at the time. You know, when you start seeing these players leave, and we had players on our team that, you know, the schools came after, and that's what's going to happen with really good players. You know, Ben Reich, he was supposed to be back with us this year, and, you know, they came after him hard, which they did a lot of players, you know, after our season was over, not just our team, but the whole league. And they get on these players, and they offer, and there's, you know, it's a pretty good deal for them. But it's not for everybody either. And it's a wait and see process now on how it's all going to play out, because, you know, there's different dynamics in every dressing room, and, you know, the NCAA is an older league, and they see these young guys coming in, and can they fit into their group? Will they get the ice time? All those things are going to come into play. schooling, having to go to school. So there's going to be some guys that excel at it, and there's going to be some guys that drop out and come back to our league.
And I imagine most of these players do get offered some cash incentive as well.
Well, we're hearing that, you know, for sure, some pretty incredible cash, you know, yeah. So there's that, right? And money talks and for a lot of families and a lot of kids. But is it the best thing for your career? Is it because, you know, in hockey, it can be a long career and it can be a short career. So I think every family and every situation is different.
So I think fans would like to know, how does, and not just Prince George, how does the WHL try to keep players when NCAA is going after them and offering cash, something that the WHL can't really counter with? So there are some advantages and big advantages to staying major junior. But in your mind, when talking, I'm not talking about any specific player, but just any player in general, what advantages are you telling players this is a reason to stay in the WHL?
Well, there's lots of advantages for your development. You're playing a lot of games. You know, that's one of the biggest. The schools are really pushing that they get in. You know, they get more time in the weight room and stuff like that. But you're playing, you know, half the games that they're playing. And for developing, you got to go out there. You got to play games. You got to make your mistakes. But where do you make your mistakes? And it's in these games. And not saying that, you know, the school route is going to be, you know, bad, but there's a lot less games, you know. And I especially look at it for a goaltender.
Yeah.
If you're going there, like you need the reps, you need the games to develop, and that's why the Western Hockey League and the Canadian Junior Hockey League has been the best supplier to the NHL in terms of draft picks and players moving on from our league to the NHL.
I was listening to one interview, some representative of the CHL with one of the major networks, and basically he was saying something to the fact is they've never had so many 16, 17-year-olds in the league as the high-end 16, 17-year-olds that are coming in the league right now. And they're looking and saying, okay, 16, 17, 18, we're still going to have a lot of them, and then it's up to us to be able to keep them as 19 and 20. Is that sort of how you see it as well? Now, I know there is sometimes an exceptional 17 or 18 year old you're going to lose. And there have been some cases like that, McKenna, for example. But for the most part, it would seem that they're going after the older players in the WHL, but they're not going to necessarily go after, you know, the really good 16, 17 year olds. Do you sort of see that like that? Hey, we're going to get a chance to get them young, and then it's up to us to keep them.
Well, it's always up to you. You got to sell your organization. It's got to be a spot where they can develop and they feel comfortable. And I think Prince George is that spot right now. Like we've done a really good job at developing players and moving players on. So, but they're coming after the young players too. Like Verhoff's going, he's leaving the league. It's his draft year. McKenna, he's doing the same thing. So, you know, these guys are younger. You know, that's kind of the consensus that people are talking about, that our league will be a little bit younger and then the 19 and 20-year-olds will probably. But I don't know that. That's speculation kind of. And until we get into this, you know, 1-2 years, I think it's all, you know, everyone's just kind of have their own opinions on how it's all going to work out. But nothing's definite yet by any means.
One of the things I think is going to be more difficult for you, and you've been a master since you've been in Prince George, is the trades. But now, and of course, when you did make the trade for Reich, you did think he was coming back as a 20-year-old, or there was at least there was a good chance he would be. So now when you're making trades and you're thinking further ahead and beyond a particular season, or if you're going to give up picks or get picks or whatever, this new factor would come into it. I assume I'm correct on that, right?
Yeah. No, it's a huge factor. Like you're making, we've always in the past made trades on what we know that we're going to have, in the future years. Now you don't. Like, I'm looking at our team next year and all these players, they could be gone. Who knows? Like, we don't know.
Right.
Especially the high-end players, they're going to come after. They've came after Ravensburger and Carroll's already. They're not going to stop.
Right.
Maybe some more guys, but that's not going to stop at all. So when you're planning, for the year, how we've always planned is, you can kind of see how your team is, from year to year and rebuild and draft and all that. But now it's wide open. Like we got guys that came from the U.S. Like our depth right now is we got too many players, and so do all the teams, because when you add another import draft, player, we can have three imports now. There's another player. And then we can, get the U.S. players. Like we got, Ash, and we got him. We got Finnegan. We got Such. We got Cahill. So there's five players that, count the import and the other import, that five new players that we never would have had before. And then you keep all your draft picks and everybody else that you've had. So there's where the depth lies. And every team is like that right now. Like the players that are falling on the wire right now are players that you probably wouldn't see on the wire before, but you have those players already. See, it's going to take a while for this all to level out.
And you made an interesting point, Mark, because you said you don't know from year to year. Based on rosters at the end of last season, I think I would be like most people and would have projected, well, Victoria, they're going to be the team to beat in the BC division. Based on the end of last season, the roster, assuming all those guys came back. Well, considering all the high-end guys they lost, I would be surprised if they make the playoffs. I don't know what's on their roster now. I don't know how they've replaced them. But I know they lost a lot of good guys. And when you lose like that, you may have been favored before. But I'm telling you, it looks on paper to me right now, they're probably at the other end. And that's how things can change.
Well, when you lose those two high-end players and Verhoef, he's going to be a top five NHL pick. That's where he's rated right now. And Reshny, they lost their two best players. And they lost a couple other ones also. But who we don't know what the backfill is on some of their U.S. guys, some of their college guys that are coming to the team, just like us with, we added Such and we added Ash, two really good players that we wouldn't have got these guys if the rules didn't change. We wouldn't have got Cahill. We wouldn't have got Finnegan. We wouldn't have got those guys because they were going to school.
Right. Yeah. So there is, and then we really don't know, how effective they're going to be. I guess you've got assumptions. I guess I would ask you, based on what you've seen training camp, the preseason, where do you think all these guys sort of fall in to what we're used to seeing?
Well, they're good players. And, but it's their first time playing in the Western League, and it's a big difference. You're talking about Such and Ash and Cahill and Finnegan. They played very well in exhibition. Our exhibition games are, it's tough to really, what we do in exhibition is we just evaluate our own team and, because sometimes you're playing against a much older team. Like we played some more veterans in our last exhibition game, and it sure made a difference on how we played. That's just the difference. And the other three games, I think against Edmonton they had 12 or 13 vets, and we had two. Yeah. the evaluation, you really get to evaluate your guys against some really good competition, which I really like.
You're going to need some depth and goal. And why? Somebody's going to say, well, you got Josh Ravensburg, you don't need depth. Well, at Christmas time, you're probably going to lose your two goalies. You know, the import that you've got and, you know, in Josh, and I'm assuming they're going to be going to World Juniors. Now, that's not 100% for sure, but you could be in that situation that you're using your third or fourth goalies.
Yeah, we really like what we have on top. And, you know, we got, you know, we like a couple of our draft picks also. But then, you know, that's a situation where it's a ways away, and we'll cross that line when we have to.
All right. So now let's take a look at what do you what is the goal for you this year? Now, in the past, years ago, when you were in the rebuilding mode, it was okay, let's get to the playoffs. Then once you had the top guys and everything like that, it was win the division. Let's see if we can win the conference. Let's see if we can, you know, get to a championship series. One year you came awfully close. Based on what you see, what you know of other teams, what is the mindset for this season? What is the goal? What is the realistic expectation that you think the fans should be looking towards?
Well, I don't know the other teams, and I don't think anybody really does. So it's a wait and see. And for that matter, I really don't know exactly what we have with some of these players. Mm-hmm. So when I talk about wait and see, you know, we got to see the other teams. We got to see who drops off, you know, comes back from school, because that's going to happen too. What if both those guys in Victoria come back?
Right. Yep.
You know, that's what we're up against here. Mm-hmm. You know, we're totally up against the unknown. So for ourselves, you know, I think playoffs, you know, that's where it starts. And then we'll see how good we can get, you know, in between, like how with these new players and our chemistry. Like we went through exhibition, we played four games, you know, some really good evaluation of, you know, a lot of young players. And now the evaluation is going to be, it's not a training camp per se, but, you know, the first 2 weeks of our schedule is the NHL guys are, most of them are in the NHL. So you don't get a lot out of that either, you know, so it's really hard to say what you're going to be because nobody knows.
Right. I guess it's fun for everybody to sort of project. You've never really been in this boat before. Like, you knew 2 years ago you had a really good team. You knew last year that there were four or five teams and you were one of them that could have come out of the West. But this year, you know, we assume Kelowna's going to be good because they are going to be hosting. But their roster right now, they've got to upgrade that roster. But we assume that. We assume Victoria lost too many guys. But we can't put that many assumptions as to what everybody has and that. So this is probably, since you've been involved in junior hockey, the most up in the air going into a season for any team, correct?
Yeah, it's unknown. And, you know, people can speculate. I'm not a speculate guy. I'm not going to get into all that kind of stuff because then you're wrong because you don't know what's going to happen. I don't have the crystal ball, and nobody does. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone talks about Kelowna. Kelowna's got to get better. You know, they have the Memorial Cup, so they're gonna make those trades to get better. And you know, they're not really looking for building for years after. You know, I've heard Bruce talk about they're in it to win it. You know,
Yep. You know
you have to be pretty darn good to win it all. And that's a lot of good players, and they do have some really good players, you know, some really good players, and they're going to add some really good players, but it's going to cost them.
Right. Well, and I think that anybody that was in that situation, you're hosting Memorial Cup, there's this unwritten rule that you're supposed to have a really good team so that you can compete with the three league champions. So, you know, they weren't a playoff team last year. They struggled. Now, they did have a couple of key injuries, and they're going to get a Ginla back and things like that, I would assume. But they, as you know, they're stating they have to be good. They may not be in September, and they don't have to be in September, but down the road, after trade deadline, they have to have a good roster to be able to live up to that standard.
Yeah. Yeah, no, exactly. And, you know, again, it was hurt all year. Everyone expects him to be back this year, but who knows?
Yeah.
You know, that kid, what if he goes in and makes Utah?
Right.
And then the World Junior. And then, yeah, there's just so many balls in the air right now. Guys leaving, you know, guys coming back, U.S. guys. You know, we're going to be playing teams, and all of a sudden you just see a name, and you're going, oh, it's this guy. Like you look at, you know, Kamloops, we just played them, and they got this kid out of the U.S. Yeah. And Hurlbut, he scored 4 goals in 2 games. Like, he's a dynamic player.
Yeah, okay.
You know, fell off the trees to him. He's a Michigan State, and that's where he was going to go in the U.S. But there's going to be players like that that fall in somebody's lap, and there's going to be players like that that don't. That you might have on your list that are going to go to school. So, yeah, everyone's kind of, you got to really do your own business, and you're trying to figure out what other teams have. But a lot of unknowns.
We're speaking with Mark Lamb, the head coach and general manager of the Prince George Cougars, as we wind down our first podcast of the season. When you are talking to other teams, other coaches, other GMs, what are the discussions about? Is everything really just focused on, you know, how NCAA has impacted the league? Or are there other things that you guys are discussing as well?
Well, you're like, everyone's speculating.
Right.
You know, that's what everyone's doing right now. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. I think this is going to happen. Like, and I can say it again, like, we don't know, you know, we don't know what's going to happen, you know, so that's the landscape we're in for now, you know, and it's going to take some time for some, you know, not everybody, it's such a shiny thing when this new thing come out, right? Like, the NCAA now, it's wide open, mm-hmm. and it's kind of, anything new is sexy, you know, you want to try it, and players are going, oh man, there's money there, and you can go to school, and you play on weekends, and you practice, and you got these facilities, and you know, it all seems really good, but it's not for everybody.
Yeah,
you know, and until you get in it and you feel it as a person, you don't really know. Like, all these kids that are going there, they don't know how they're going to like it. Like, there's a couple kids that are leaving Victoria. You know, I listened to their interviews. They loved it there. James Patrick, a great coach.
Yeah.
So when you're leaving that, you're leaving for better pastures. But are they? There's the big question. We don't know.
Yeah. Well, one thing that we do know, and we just touched on it briefly, but one thing that we do know... that you've got, that nobody else has, and that's Josh Ravensburger. And that has got to be comfort, because no matter how a team is built, no matter how many goal scorers you have or you don't have, no matter how many great defensemen you have or you don't have, knowing that you go in with the advantage over the other team, just about every team you play, and I'm not saying absolutely everybody, but it pretty much is, that when you look at the whatever roster they're putting, and you put your roster, they put their roster, and you can say, you look and you say, you've got number 31 in net, you can still have a pretty good smile on your face there, Mark.
Oh, yeah. He's an outstanding goalie. We think we got a couple of them. You know, the election kid, he's played very well.
Yeah.
For us in exhibition also. So we think our goaltending's a strength again.
And that's where you want to have it. And I know everybody wants goals, and we've talked about that a little bit, but being strong at the back end is where it starts. Of course, that's all, you know, that's where Jim Playfair is the master and everything like that. And, you know, goal scoring will sort of take care of itself. But it's interesting times right now for the Cougars, for the league. But one thing also, you've had more players come into the league that were sort of targeted for BCHL that are now willing to go to the WHL, players that could play at this level that before wanted to go the so-called school route with the NCAA. Well, now, you know, those players, some of those players that were targeted for BCHL are going to the WHL. That's another factor that's come into it.
Yeah, and it helped. It helps some teams. Like, you look at it, you know, Portland, you know, last year, you know, yeah. After, you know, right at the deadline, they added some players and it put them over the top.
Yeah.
You know, and that could happen again this year. You know, some players that are under the radar right now that nobody knows about. You know, so that's why, you know, the scouts, there's going to be a lot more scouting going on. Like, you know, we would never really scout Junior A because those guys are committed. Why would you spend any time and money, you know, scouting those guys? But now, you know, you might list them and give them an opportunity or try to recruit them. You know, that's from all over, you know, the Alberta Junior, Saskatchewan Junior, Manitoba Junior, even the BC Junior. Like, you know, a lot of guys, you know, came out of there last year, and we got a couple of them on our team this year.
Have you had to add to your scouting staff, and if so, how?
Well, we're doing that right now. We've added a couple guys. We want to keep adding a few more that we've talked about. And, you know, and that's another thing. It's not just, hey, let's go get a scout, because everybody wants to scout. There's so many people out there that scouts got to be a fit too. You know, they got to fit with the organization. Their priorities got to be in the right spot. And so, yeah, we'll be adding more scouts for sure.
Well, and they have to be knowledgeable for what you are after. And everybody probably that is a scout thinks that they're an expert, and maybe some of them are, or things like that. But they may think they're an expert, but you as the team may say, well, not for us.
Yeah, and they got to get along with the group. You know, it's a different dynamic. Scouts are scouts. They're, you know, and you know, having 30 of them, you know, is one thing, but having 15 that are good and 15 that are bad is no good, because it just muddles everything. So when we look for scouts, we look for, you know, the right people that can get along with our group, that have the same goals. And you know, that's how you win in anything. You got to have good people. You have to have motivated people. You have to have people that have a real hard work ethic, and you have to have people that know their area and know a lot of people, know a lot of parents, know a lot of kids that are, you know, really into the community, that know all the ins and outs, not just the player on the ice, but the players off the ice.
Do you still get excited about opening weekend after being months away, or because the roster situation is unsettled, does it take away a little bit from the excitement of starting a new season?
No, never. New seasons. I get excited in training camp. I get excited a month before training camp. I get excited writing down our roster. You know, that's the great business. So that's why I love hockey so much. It's, you know, it's a real passion of mine. You know, me and Jimmy were talking about it the other day, our first exhibition game in Hinton, and, you know, the bees are buzzing. You got the, you know, it's game day, you know, I guess I was born for it. And that's what hockey coaches and hockey players, that's what they're born for. But I feel the same way. Opening night is no different than when I was first started coaching or first started playing.
I've always admired, like, you know, you've been NHL and planes, and now, you know, you've been so long in the juniors, and, you know, you are in your 60s now, and the bus ride still, like, you still I don't want to say they don't bother you. Like you're still as excited about, well, that's part of the job. I understand that. Some of us, as we get 60, probably say, boy, that travel would probably get to some of it. But for you and Jimmy and everybody like that, bus rides are fine still.
Yeah. That's all part of it.
Yeah.
You know, we don't, it's not a negative, you know, getting on that bus with your team. And I think it's an honor to be in this league. I think it's an honor to get on the bus. I know there's a lot of people that would like to be in my spot.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
And I'm just so happy that I do something that I love. You know, it's not like you're going to work every day and doing something that you don't like. It's something a little bit different every day, and we enjoy it. Like some of these bus trips are, you know, they're a lot of fun, but sometimes they're not. But that's life, right? You know, you get some snowstorms, or you know you're late getting there, but that's no different than anything in life, you know. So it's just part of it.
But when you win, the bus rides are a lot more fun. That'll never change, of course.
Yeah, no, that's why you play this game. You know, you play to win, you play to get better. You know, you want to win a championship. That's what it's all about. The process of getting there is a lot of fun, and you know, we just keep banging away at it. I really like where our organization is. It's taken a lot of work to get here, and you know, we're not going to go backwards.
No. As a matter of fact, can you just sort of update us from over the summer, the contract you signed, Jim signed, you got the coaching staff back. Just sort of give, yeah. What do you want to share publicly about the contract details?
Well, they're all multi-year deals, not just the coaching staff, but the training staff, Cole Waldie. You know, we got a really good group here. It's really hard, especially in junior hockey, to hold a good group together, because when you have a good group, you know, other teams want to take some guys. And, you know, we've done a real, real good job of the chemistry part, where everybody really enjoys working together. And we've had some success. We haven't had the ultimate success we want, but we've had a lot of success that we can be proud of. And the biggest thing is when everybody gets along, everyone plays their part, the players certainly see it. You know, that's why, you know, players want to play in Prince George now. And that's just not the players that are here. There's a lot of players that, you know, I hear through, you know, the agents and other players that want to come and play in Prince George.
I think you've mentioned in the past, too, that that's been one big difference from when you came on in 2018 to now 2025. You had to convince players maybe in the past to come to Prince George. Now you don't have to do a big sell job.
No, it's the sell job is done, right? You know, that's, you know, they can look at the past, and these players and agents and parents, they talk to a lot of people, and you know, now it's, you know, never even had an issue the last few years on even signing anybody.
Any final word as we wrap up our first podcast? Anything you'd like to say that maybe we haven't talked about? Something that you'd like to say to the fans as we sign off?
No, it's just, you know, another year, very exciting again. You know, last year, the last few years with all the fans, when this building's, you know, full and it's buzzing, you know, it's a great hockey atmosphere for the players and for us also. So, you know, that's another selling point that, you know, players want to come here. It has a lot to do with the fans.
Well, I appreciate your time. We'll have you back about once a month for podcasts. And, of course, I'll be talking to you after every home game for the Prince George Cougars this season on our post-game show on 94.3 The Goat. So appreciate it. All the best for this season. We all look forward to the Prince George Cougars season, Mark.
All right. Thank you.
Mark Lamb is the head coach and general manager of the Prince George Cougars. You have been listening to the Cougars CatScan podcast. Have a great one.